Hey there, I'm Christine.
And I'm Stephanie.
And welcome to the Incremental Steps podcast.
We're a couple of smart, curious women trying to strike a balance between career, family, and self-care while striving to leave the planet better off than the way we found it.
We're learning that we can't do it alone, like most things. We need each other, all of us. So every couple of weeks, we're going to check in for support in these difficult times and challenge each other to find new ways to leave a lighter footprint.
Hey, Christine.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you, my friend?
I am doing okay. How are you doing? I am learning to navigate the apocalypse.
Right? I saw the greatest meme. Part of my self-care and sanity check is like looking for really funny memes. And there was this one meme that said how I thought I would look when the apocalypse came. And it was Xena Warrior Princess, like all dressed up.
Oh, I think
and
I saw that one.
The other one was how I actually look. And it was bathrobe and curlers and no makeup. And I was so true, right?
So this is my first day. This is day one of sheltering in place. So.
Well, we're going to get to that in just a second, but why don't we do our regular format where we do some back and forth I could talk about, and then we'll pick up our conversation. So first of all, for people that are going to be checking in on our audio podcast, we are actually recording this on Zoom today. So we are also going to have a link to a video recording probably up on our Facebook page. So here we go. I know, right? What's the world coming?
Let's do it. Whatever.
Okay, here we go. So I could talk about having sheltered in place now. I've lost count of the days, but it's been well over 2 weeks.
Okay. I could talk about having not been sheltered in place at all for a good long while, but now I am.
I could talk about how we've recorded or attempted to record this version of this podcast two previous times, and I'm hoping the way we're doing it now will actually work.
Yes. We could both talk about holes in our education with technology that we're repairing.
Well, and I could talk about doing our best to honor social distance and the technology not supporting us. Let's put
absolutely.
It that way.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'm trying to put everything in a positive light. I really am.
You don't have to.
Okay, I could talk about spring. And you know what? In spite of everything, little things are coming up out of the ground like they're supposed to, and the sky is gorgeous.
I could talk about reading an article about the hole in our ozone is the smallest that has been in.
I saw that.
Right?
Yeah. So, I could talk about silver linings. Sure.
I could talk about the crazy shit my dad says when he is now calling me every day and how he was born for this.
Oh, I bet. Oh my God. I need him to be my patron saint right now. I could talk about, I could talk about becoming more radical as I get older.
Me too, sister. Me too. Let's jump into these conversations today.
Okay, let's.
Because I know we've got a lot to talk about, and our biggest thing is going to be keeping this podcast to a manageable level today.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm totally fine.
So, which one of those things do you want to dive into a little deeper?
None. I want to talk about our challenges. Let's get those out of the way.
Okay, let's do our challenges first, and then we'll go back to some of the I can talk about.
Okay, so for what is now the third time.
You and I have talked about it, but we haven't been able
to
share.
We've had many conversations about this.
What? We're in the scoring challenges?
So the last time we recorded successfully, we were going to, so I was going to try an apple cider vinegar rinse for my hair. We were still on the hair thing.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember back when we cared about what happened to our hair?
Right?
So what I did was I did a couple of recipes. I did one that you have to like boil a tea. And so it takes a little while. It takes like 15, 20 minutes to make, but then it's available immediately. I tried that. I was stunned at how well it worked. It was amazing.
Let's remind people what this is for. This is using a bar soap, right?
Right. I was using a bar shampoo.
Okay.
And my first experience with it was that you could use it once or twice without it being too weird. But by the time you use it like the third time, the buildup in your hair is very, very waxy and feels very candle-like. And I was like, I don't like the way my hair feels. So I had read that the cure for that is to do an apple cider vinegar rinse. And you just take it and you put it in your hair and somehow it magically takes all that stuff out. And I really didn't think it would. I didn't think that it would be the right combination of problem with solution, but I was wrong. It was a very effective.
In light of the current times that we currently find ourselves in, which in Gwinnett County, we are under quarantine and we have curfews. And if you are not essential personnel, you are not supposed to be moving around.
Right.
This is very timely information. Like if you,
yes.
Right. So that bar of shampoo will last how long?
The first one I had, I didn't bring it with me, but the first one I had was quite big and it would last, I would think, 3 months, 6 months. I mean, a long time.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was a lot, but okay. It was a lot. Like you just couldn't do it all the time though, because it was kind of gross.
And to remind people who might be just joining us, the reason we're doing this is to reduce plastic and packaging and try different challenges to leave a lighter footprint.
Footprint. Right. You froze up. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Okay. So, right. So, my internet connection is unstable.
Well, I'm hearing you really well. And okay. I bet our listeners are too. I'll give you a signal or something if you cut out.
Okay. Anyway, so yeah. if you happen to be holed up now and are running out of shampoo, one thing that you can do instead of using shampoo, if you've got some apple cider vinegar, and you can take a little bit of it and you can go on our Facebook page and see there's a couple of recipes and add it to water and put it in a little spray bottle and just spray it all up in there real good and let it stay in there for a few minutes and then rinse it out. Or it says you cannot rinse it out, but I don't know how I feel about that. So I did that with the one that, like, you brew the water like a tea for effect. You don't have to do that. You could just put water, I imagine, and a little bit of vinegar in it, be fine. But this was like, you know, like to make it smell good, blah, blah. So then I made, you can also take herbs and put them in a jar and fill it with apple cider vinegar and leave it for a couple weeks. And you end up with this. And then you take a tablespoon or so of that and add it to a cup of water and spray, and you're good to go there too. But I also...
So if you were listening to us, Stephanie held up a little jar, about a pint jar, that looked like something that looked about like tea. Like that looked like something I'd be tempted to drink. I probably shouldn't with it.
I wouldn't want to, you don't want to do that. That's not going to taste good. Yeah. So I also bought a different brand of bar soap to see, like a bar shampoo to see if it was just the particular brand. So I got this one. This is significantly smaller than the first one I got, and it was a lot more expensive. So the other one was probably twice the size at half the price.
Okay.
But this one, and this one has, that one didn't have anything unnatural in it. This has some cocoa sulfides in it, which whatever, it makes it sudsier. It feels more like a shampoo. And it rinses out better. So I'm willing to make that trade. I don't feel like it's a huge environmental, I looked, it doesn't seem like it's that bad for the environment. So,
and how long do you think that little round ball of goodness will last?
I don't wash my hair every day, so I would say that this will probably last 3 months, maybe.
Okay,
we'll see.
Right,
I mean,
so you're set on shampoo,
yeah. It hasn't gotten much smaller, and I've used it probably 4 or 5 times now. Well, no, more like 5 or 6.
That's kind of cool.
So yeah, so that in combination with the ACV works very well. I think it's definitely one way that you could eliminate that particular plastic in your life if you wanted to. I know it's scary because it was funny because I didn't think it was that much of a challenge, but then the more I've talked to people about it, I'm like, well, I'm doing this thing where I'm using bar shampoo. They're all like, oh,
right. Yeah. Hair is a thing, right? It's a thing for women. I was just watching the awesome new Netflix show, Madam C.J. Walker. Highly recommend, by the way, if you are at home and looking for a good good show. We've only watched the first episode because it's one of those that we want to all watch as a family. But her whole thing is based on Black women's hair and how important. And then she talks about in their culture how important hair is. And I think for, yeah. Check it out.
Oh,
it's awesome.
Yeah, I think definitely awesome. Not just the African-American community, but yeah.
Right. Right. And they have special needs that for their hair that we don't have. But I think hair, especially for women, is a big deal. So
I would be super curious to know if a bar shampoo works better if you have a different kind of hair.
Naturally oily hair. Yeah, I don't know. So speaking of my challenges for plastic, look at that, it worked. So my CGI, for you guys that are listening, I have the background on Zoom, so it looks like I'm at the beach. And for those of y'all that are tuning in to see it, this background, I took this picture at dawn at Miami Beach in Florida a couple of years ago. It was an awesome dawn. And there's a bird. And then behind the bird are clouds that look like a bird. So, like, it's one of my favorite pictures ever that I've taken. But because it's on the background, the CGI gets a little funky. So sometimes if I'm holding up something,
It works against your black clothes, as long as you keep right, it there.
Right. So this is what I'm holding up is the True Earth packaging. So this is for 32 loads of laundry. And see how thin that is? And the package itself is recyclable. And it came in this little pouch. Actually, two of these pouches came in a mailing envelope. So I got 64 loads of laundry. Now, this is the one on the challenge that, you know, was targeted marketing to me on Facebook. And so I clicked on it, not, you know, my bad, not really paying attention where it was coming from, which normally wouldn't be a big deal. But I think, what do we say? It took a month to get here. It took a long time to get here. It was coming
from Canada. It took 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah, it was coming from Canada. It had to come through customs. So then it bears the whole thing about buying local or not. I get a little dicey with that. But what I will say is, as far as a packaging perspective, it's awesome. Like, I mean, that versus a big old deal of plastic is fantastic. And the fact that the cardboard pouch is recyclable too is awesome.
Did you buy it direct from the people that make it, or did it go through like a, okay.
Yes. And then this, if you can see it, my CGI. So it's a little square, and that's actually two loads of laundry. So
it looks kind of like an index card.
Right. And then except it's square versus a rectangle. And then what it has is it has a perforated place where you cut it in half. So like most laundry products, you need less than you think you do. So that's how you get so many loads in a short amount. I've used it. I've liked it. Nobody has complained in my household. I think we're set for a while. I mean, the fun part about these challenges is we were doing these before everybody went on lockdown and there was a shortage of some supplies. So it's like, so the one that's coming up for me, especially here in the United States, you know, is the whole toilet paper issue. And oh, I haven't researched it yet, but my challenge may be for myself next time to research the environmental impact of toilet paper versus bidets. And does it make sense to install a bidet?
I have so many questions about a bidet.
Okay. So maybe we'll talk about that next podcast.
Okay.
So because I think it's a relevant and timely question, right? I don't know that I can get one ordered and installed before our next podcast, but I might be able to do the research and then, you know, we'll see what happens. So let's dive into some of our I could talk about. Was there any of those that I said that you wanted to know more about?
I want to hear more about your dad and the seeds and the whole nine.
He's hysterical. Can I tell y'all? So first of all, my dad, I come from farmers, right? And my dad, and he was also served in the Army during the Vietnam War. So my whole life, I have known him to be just a smidge paranoid. May not be paranoid if it's real. That's the other thing, right? and he has always, my entire life, said, you must know how to grow your own food. One day you are going to have to know how to grow your own food. So I grew up on a small family farm. We grew
Stop.
Go ahead.
One day you're going to have to, like, what did he mean by that?
He, like, that we would be in a situation like now where you might not be able to get your supplies and, you know, and I was kind of like, yeah, dad, whatever, you know, how you do.
Has he been saying that since you were a kid? Like, you grew up with that?
Oh, absolutely. Wow. I grew up with that. And in
fact, times are coming.
When the current administration got elected, I was like, oh, please don't prove my daddy right. Like, come on now.
Did he vote for the current
administration? No, he did not. He did not. So my dad is a sweetheart, y'all. He definitely has autoimmune issues. He's type 1 diabetic. He's got a lot of underlying conditions, has no business. Like, so he locked down in a relative matter. That's a whole nother story, but he locked down pretty quick. And part of his locking down was to start calling me every day to check in and make sure I was okay. And my dad, like, he'd call and say things like, all right, baby, I got 5,000 onions planted. We may not have much else to eat, but we got it covered with onions.
I love.
And then,
so, yeah, you can eat pretty good if you got onions.
Right? And so then, he calls me one day and he says, all right, now, on average, I read that the current family needs a family of four. Needs an average of 17 rolls of toilet paper for 2 weeks. So your mom and I are covered until the corn comes in. You want me to break that down for you, what that means?
I was going to say, does that mean once the corn comes in, he no longer needs toilet paper?
I don't know if he meant that or if he just meant he was one of those people that hoarded toilet paper like he shouldn't have, and he's covered until July because, you know, the corn comes in about July.
That's a
lot of toilet paper for two people, right?
How many rolls of toilet paper do you have, Christine?
I would have to ask my quartermaster. So I have not been keeping count because my dear husband, who was a Boy Scout, has deemed himself the quartermaster of our home. And
Oh my God.
Right.
I need a whole episode on just that.
It's awesome. We're not going to skip to that today because before we go off my dad, I have to tell you. So I called him. So I was going to order some more seeds because he had sent me home. Last time I was in Texas, he had sent me home with some multi-mix sprouts for lettuce and stuff like that. So I got that planted at the very start of this, you know, those voices that you hear in your head growing up, you know, that my dad's voice rising up of, you're gonna need to know how. I was like, shut, I better plant something quick, right? So I planted some lettuce sprouts. And then I was like, I really don't have a lot of seeds. And I was going to order some, and I thought, what are you doing? You know, your dad has like a stockpile of seeds, right? So I called my dad and I was like, hey dad, I was thinking about planting a little bit of stuff. I was going to order stuff, but I don't have a lot of room. So I was wondering if you had some seeds to share. Oh my gosh, Stephanie, like,
what'd you get?
He was so cute. He was like, baby, I'll put them in the mail for you today. Don't you worry. They're on the way. So what I have to explain too is because I told him I didn't have a lot of space. So for my dad, who does everything like 10 times, I got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 traditional seed packets. And then I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of these teeny tiny Ziploc bags that he took. And he put, like, this says yellow squash, and it's got 8 seeds in it. Like, it's the cutest little thing you've ever seen. And then he sent me cream peas, and he sent me pole beans, and he sent me lettuce and spinach and zucchini. And I'll share because, girl, I don't have room to plant even all this at my house. And then he sent me, I'm trying to decide if, he sent me some spaghetti squash, which I'm excited about. I don't know if I can get that to grow. But I don't know that he likes it or he didn't have good luck growing it because he sent me like 2 or 3 packets of it. So, so I got seeds to share, just so you know. But he was born for
me. Oh, man.
Between the combination of being a little bit of a hoarder and a little bit of a survivalist and a gardener, he is thriving. And he's feeding all his neighbors, and he is just adorable. And he calls me every morning to say, baby, how you doing? How's everybody there? And he just needs a check-in to make sure that we're all okay. And I'm like, I'm good, Dad. How are you? And then he texts me the other day. It was like, oh my gosh, the new neighbor came by. And what was I to do? And I said, you were supposed to not say hello. But I said, did you shake his hand? He said, I did. And I went and washed my hands immediately afterwards. Right? Right? It's that Texas Southern, you don't want to be seen as rude, right? I was like, Dad, do I need to make you a sign that says, we believe in science, stay the hell out. We can put it at the front of the driveway.
Nice to meet you. Back it up, buddy.
Right? Back it up. Back it up.
I literally I'm not at work this week, but last week, somebody came in and I literally was like, stop moving.
Yes. Tell our listeners why today is your first day of sheltering in place, because that was not by your choice.
I don't know how much I want to go into that, but, because last week we had a shelter in place, order. But you could still work.
Right.
So, and a lot of companies were choosing not to be open or were adjusting their situation, but the company that I happened to work for did not. So, I was there last week and it was very, I don't know if stressful is even the right word. It was just maddening. You know, it was just aggravating because, there was just a lot of privilege flying around. There was a lot of it was a lot of seniors thinking they're invincible, and I've heard that that's a thing, and I'm like, that is, y'all are the ones we're doing all this for. Could you please participate,
right?
So this week I'm here, and that's all I'm gonna say about that.
All right, well we're glad you're here, and we're glad you're safe, and we're glad you're home. And And thank you so much. It was about a week ago you dropped off that little care package at my house and included the fire cider zest recipes for and immunity.
Did you look at it?
Play with it as much as I wanted to yet. You know, I was just thinking about that because I know one of the things you and I have talked about offline is that, I get to do this now and I get to do this now and I get to do this now. And I have to tell you, the last 2 weeks, I've worked more than ever. Like, I am... Whew, it has been a big deal transitioning. I mean, I worked from home anyways, but I had a lot of community groups and things that, you know, I met with people online and all, I mean, in community. And I've had to transition, either it all fell away. So like in one day, 2/3 of my income went away, or it got transitioned to online, which is a whole nother host of things that you don't think about, especially when you're used to just walking into a room and teaching or leading a group. And then all of a sudden you have to get everybody else okay to meet online. It's like, right. And I know a lot of people I'm talking to are going through this. So these immune system, I think we talked about it last time we met, like boosting our immunities at this time is crucial. It's something we all need to be doing, no matter what age we are or what's happening. And I think especially with the added stress of the news and the and loved ones and, you know, sheltering in place.
The good news is that doing that is relatively simple and probably something you're doing anyway right now. So the best way to boost your immune system, the number one best way to do that right now is sleep. Get plenty of rest. But then the other thing is try to have some fresh vegetables, fresh fruit. I know that may be hard to come by, but even if it's frozen, work as much of that into your diet as you can. Onions, garlic, any kind of allium is going to be good. So like, you know, leeks and whatever you can get a hold of, but fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, those are all things that are going to, be full of antioxidants and really just be helpful to your immune system and soothing. So, you don't need to be able to make things like fire cider or whatever to do it. Although those are great too, because that's probiotic and it's got a lot of immune boosting things in it. But just be kind to yourself. Whatever you can do to reduce your stress and meditate,
all of those things are good. Person, so I'm big on movement. So even if you're stuck inside, stretching or doing some interplay, or if you've got a treadmill, you know, dust it off. And it's, I did a 2-mile walk on my treadmill the other day, and I slept better than I'd slept in 2 weeks. It was awesome. So let's dive into a little bit, Stephanie, about like the silver linings and the fact some of the studies that are coming out of this, and I wouldn't say studies because they haven't had time to study it, but some of the numbers already coming out by us taking this pause, like Mother Earth is,
she's getting a breather. Yeah, I hear we're in for some beautiful skies.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're saying about Italy and China, that they're getting some amazing clean air.
Even LA, the first time in a long time. Heard the same thing.
I don't know. I went for a walk this morning. I walked a dog, and yeah, it was gorgeous outside. The sky was cornflower blue, and everything was, I mean, it's still Georgia, and there's a lot of pollen in the
air. I was just about to say.
But
it is so yellow. I got outside for just a little bit this morning, and then all that pollen drove me back inside. But
that's what's keeping you in. That sucks.
A little bit, yeah. I had to take allergy medicine today. It was one of those days. But so the other thing is, at the same time, I'm reading articles about they're dropping more regulations from the EPA right now. Like they're using this time. And I'm saying them, the current administration is using this time to get rid of things that protect our environment. So it's
so exhausting. You can't ever watch the news without having an eye to what you're not seeing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know what? But here's the thing. Also, people are, at least some people are looking at this as an opportunity for a lifestyle change. So even if they change the regulations, you know, if people are like, you know what, teleworking actually really works for me, and I don't like to have to drive, and I don't like the commute, and I want to figure out how to build my life in a way that makes sense. And if this is our new normal, I need to kind of be doing it anyway. So
I know I know that to be true in my own life, because, you know, I've been saying for a couple of years, I wanted more work in Gwinnett County versus driving into Atlanta proper. And I found, now of course I filled it up with more work, I have to get better with my boundaries about that, but you know, that first day or two when I didn't have a 2-hour commute, like I was like, what the heck, man, like, whoa. I miss seeing people in person, but being able to have some of the same experiences online without 2 hours in the car, I was like, okay, now that was sweet.
Yeah, I mean, before I had this job, I did I don't know, I was sort of a gig economy person doing a lot of freelance work at home, and I loved it. That aspect of it was great. It became too much juggling different things for me, but I could see returning to a situation where that's a thing, because the system we're working on, I think that what's happening now is a lot of us watching old systems and old ways of doing things fall away, and the new systems kind of being born. And I know it's going to be a rough ride, and it's going to be crazy, but I'm sort of with your dad. I sort of feel like I was born for this. Like, this is where, like, this is why I've been studying herbs for 10 years. And this is, you know, this is why I've been teaching my kids to protest and go and do things. Like, this mm-hmm. is it. This is the moment where we have an opportunity to really make real change.
That has been one of my practices, and I haven't done it daily. Last week I didn't do it daily. The first week I was more on it, but like even today I sent a letter to my state representatives and expressing my views on locking things down and more consistency. So, I mean, I think that's one of the silver linings, is there's a little more time for that, like paying attention and just sending a, what do we want to create? Like, not, you know, yes,
that's such a great question.
If we're displeased, but what do we want to create here? You know, that's what do we want?
What do we want to call in?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and in the midst, and you know, one of the things I know that I'm really doing my best with is holding the grief and the gratitude at the same time. Because the reality is there is a lot of grief. There's a lot of grief with people losing jobs and being socially isolated and not being able to see their family or their friends, and people starting to die. I mean, that's a reality. And then there's the gratitude for, like, you know, Mother Earth's getting a break. The flowers are blooming in my yard right now. I am getting to talk to people I haven't talked to in years who I'm like, they're showing up on things that are, we're across the country, but we're seeing each other online. So, you know, that practice of holding both at the same time is, I think, important.
I think it's going to be very interesting to see, even on a smaller level, like, I mean, yes, all of that, of course. But I was just thinking, the social media wave that we've been through and the social media world that we lived in, it has turned very dark. And it's going to be very interesting to me to see if a lot of that connection that we've all, like, that's the big benefit of social media, is that you have this connection with people that you've known, you know, wherever you are or whatever. I would be really curious to see if that becomes more visual and people start using Zoom and things like that more to have that same thing. And then you can filter out a lot of the junk and the vitriol and all of it. So, yeah, I mean, and again, this is a silver lining, of course. Of course, it's terrible that there are people who are sick, and it's terrible that the numbers are going to go up, and there's a lot of things to be said about, but I don't think it's wrong to also find the lesson to come away with and the good that comes of it. At least something good should come of it. And I hope
in interplay, we have a practice or a tool that we call affirmation, and it's called naming for and looking the good. It doesn't negate the fact that there's bad out there, but we're consciously naming and looking for the good. And I know in the last couple of weeks, it has been a sanity saver for me. Because, you know, there's been times that it has been challenging. Saturday, I sent out a note to this group of neighborhood women. It's like, I currently hate all things, all people and all things. And somebody wrote back, they didn't have everybody's email. And they're like, who is this? That can't be Christine.
That's funny. Yeah, well, I'm kind of glad that our second recording didn't happen, because I was just in a very grim place right then, and I just could not find the good. And so I'm glad that I'm in a better place to have this discussion, because it's important. It's important to stay motivated and have something to fight for and all of that.
Well, and, you know, I have a mental health background, so just stating it, it's okay for everybody to have their feels, how they are. And every day may look different, and every hour could look different. Because the reality is we are in uncertain times that none of us have encountered. And then you throw on, are you by yourself, or are you quarantined with your loved ones? There's a whole mess of stuff in here.
Yeah, it just... I'm not, you definitely never tried to keep me from having my feels, but it doesn't make very good podcast fodder to be like,
right?
Screw everything. I hate it all.
That's how I was Saturday, man. I was like, I'm done. And everybody's like, what do you mean you're done? I'm done. And coming from a place of privilege, I mean, I have to own, like, I am so very lucky. Like, I live in a house that I can get away from people. I have a place. I live in a house that has a great yard that, I'm going to give myself a little shout out here right now.
Right.
Because every year at this time, I am bemoaning the fact that I forgot to plant my bulbs and my yard doesn't have any color in it. Well, let me tell you, y'all, I have so many bulbs. So my dad, thanks to my dad, shout out to Papa. He is getting a lot of kudos this one. But when I was at home, I think I was home for my uncle's funeral, and he had ordered a whole bunch of daffodil bulbs, and he sent me home with, this was Thanksgiving. This was when I was home for Thanksgiving, because sent me home with 100 daffodil bulbs. And at the time I was like, holy guacamole, Dad, like, because it was a lot.
You have a huge yard though.
Right. Well, it wasn't just that. It was, I was coming home and the next day I was doing pre-op and then the next day having surgery. So I had such a little window to get them planted. And then my aunt had given me a big old tub, which I'm so grateful for, a big old tub of plants that she dug up from my nanny's yard, and she was splitting and sharing. And so I had to get them all planted, and I'm grateful that I did, because now I have some lilies coming up from my nanny's yard and some amaryllis. And then I have these gorgeous daffodils that my dad gave me the bulbs for. And then for Valentine's Day, I'm not a huge cut out flower person, because I learned about the rose industry. That's a whole nother thing. But I'm just not a huge fan. I would rather plant flowers than have cut flowers. And so Joe and I had a discussion and we bought gladiola bulbs. And so we got all those planted for Valentine's Day. So right now I've got daffodils blooming. In April, I'll have my lilies. And then the gladiolas are starting to come up. They're probably about 4 or 5 inches right now.
And they'll get to be like 3 or 4 feet, right?
Right. Right. They're coming.
Cool.
And so I just have to tell y'all, this is one of my name in the good. I am just so excited to have flowers in my yard. It is bringing me a lot of joy right now.
Yeah. Our azalea has just gone bonkers this year. And I'm grateful for all the things that I've planted that are around and that are coming in. It also puts into perspective, like, the time marches on, the world is still spinning. I planted peas, I don't know when, but now they're coming in, they're climbing up their little trellis, everything, like lettuce that I planted in the fall is starting to come up now. So yeah, things are crazy for humans, but humans aren't the only things on this planet, and life is going on and doing well, thriving actually. So,
it's a good thing to notice, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and I saw an ad. I mean, we're not the only ones planting gardens right now. You know, I'm seeing a little sign about bring back the victory gardens, and it's interesting, like how
people are going to nurseries. Are they getting plants?
I don't know the answer to that. I think they may be going to Home Depot and Lowe's because that's still considered essential. I know one neighborhood. Somebody posted they had a nursery truck that came by, like you could order and they delivered it to your door, right?
Oh my god, that'd be so cool.
Right. Well, I bet you could organize it for your neighborhood. Something to think about. In your spare time. You know, I will post on our social media pages. I did a little video of a walk in my yard. I'll post that. So for somebody that doesn't have a yard or is maybe not in Georgia, because, you know, other places aren't getting spring yet. I mean, we tend to be lucky here because we're, you know, one of the positives of the South is that we do get spring a little early. So our cherry trees were blooming, our Bradford pears, which that's a whole hot topic we won't touch. And then our azaleas and, you know, there's all kinds of really yumminess blooming right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It is great. The redbuds, the dogwoods. It's gorgeous right now.
It is. It is. Yeah.
And it comes with pollen.
Well, right. It does. It comes with a yellow wave of pollen. I was out walking in my yard and the last picture on the video, you'll see it. It's this heart out of pollen. And I think Mother Nature just drew it. It doesn't look like a person drew it. It really looks like the way the pollen landed. You'll see it. It's really cool. I was just like, all right, that's cool.
I'll have to find, one time on the pollen made a perfect spiral. I'll have to find that picture and post that too.
I have to say, I'm a little envious that you have water, like that you have a pond.
It is great. But you have a labyrinth.
I do. I am lucky, lucky girl, but I don't have a water feature and I'm a water girl, you know?
Yeah,
so
me too. I love that.
That's, you know, before we were in quarantine, I was thinking, oh, it's going to be spring break. I'll go throw my kayaks in the Chattahoochee and do a little,
you can come over here.
Paddle. What?
You can come over here and just do a couple of laps paddle around the pond.
Are we going to say that's essential?
Well, yeah, I guess if you can't walk over here with your kayak, you can't do it. I guess
right.
All right. So maybe not.
All right. Well, we have a few minutes left. What are we thinking for challenges
for our next
in
challenge?
Our challenging times? And what seems appropriate for an incremental step of making a difference while we're under quarantine?
I think maybe what we should do is keep a journal of the ways that we are using our resources that we have here without going to the store and just seeing what kind of creative ways we come up with for using the things that we've got. Because that's sort of the survival instinct, right? Mm-hmm. Like you need to kind of like, I don't know. What do you think?
Can I tell you, calling on my ancestors, I always get such a thrill out of this because I was raised kind of country. I was raised, you know, we didn't have a lot of money growing up. Like, we had resources because we were farmers. But there's this part of me that just gets so excited about this. The other day I was out of my box mix for cornbread, right? Because I usually cheat. I'm usually in a hurry. I just throw a box mix in with an egg.
Right.
And I was out and I was like, all right, what do I have in this cabinet? And so from scratch, whipped up some cornbread.
Get out
and
of here.
I could just feel my nanny like standing over my shoulder smiling. You know, I was like, I got this, nanny. And I do think we may need to be calling on all our ancestors. You know, they went through some hard times with the Great Depression and different wars. And, you know, like looking at history, how did people get through tough times like this? And for those of us that have, you know, economic privilege and white privilege, it may not be as tough as for other people. I was reading a study online about, you know, especially our friends of color. Most of them can't do quarantine or shelter in place because their jobs are considered essential and they don't have the option of working from home. And you know, really paying attention to some of that. And all my artist friends, man, all my artist friends right now, you know, most of them lost their gigs in, you know, musicians and artists and workshop leaders lost all their work in one day. So it is a hard time for a lot of people.
We'll all be on the unemployment line together.
Right? And making some bread from scratch. I got you covered there, my friend. So,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll post some things on social media. If we come up with recipes or things that, I saw one the other day. It was some salve. I was going to run it by you because it's this really cool purple flower that's in my yard. That was like, oh, that's useful. Because, you know, when you've done a walkthrough with me,
four-petal flower? The little bitty ones?
I think so. I'll have to look. It said this, not that. I'll have to look it up. You know, if I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, send it to me.
But I'll post it. And it was talking about how to make salve out of it. And it was really cool because I was like, ooh, I got a bunch of that in my yard. And you know, was it last year that we walked through the yard and you taught me about cleavers?
Yes, I think that was last year.
Okay, and you posted that on our social media, right? Or was that just on your page? Okay.
No, I put it on the Incremental Steps page. So cleavers is chronic wet cough, wasn't
it? Wet cough. Cleavers or wet cough. I used it last year. I pulled it, dried it, and used it when I had a wet cough.
And then chickweed, which is also around here in Georgia right now, is good for a dry, unproductive cough when you've got like chest congestion, which sounds to me like that's more what you would be with the coronavirus, mm-hmm. just to relieve some of those symptoms. So it's sort of like nature's Mucinex. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's growing wild. I mean, try and stop it this time of year here in Georgia. It's all over my backyard. I already picked up a bunch and I have it drying in the basement, but
I need to go look. I saw it come through my social media, but I didn't look at it. But I need to go look and probably pick some of that. So
yeah, just put it in a salad. It's edible just as is.
Well, that's the other thing that was fun is people are posting like, what is edible in your yard? And now all this being said, y'all, let's do a disclaimer. Like, you need to really know your stuff and be checking it and don't be pulling your yard if you've been spraying it with weed killer.
I was going to say, nothing if you put Roundup on it. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but if you haven't, if you've got some disused areas of your yard that haven't been molested by your dogs or treated with anything, there are so many resources online to take a look. But yeah, those two in particular are easy to spot. It's easy to tell what they are. The chickweed, the leaves look like little mouse ears.
Oh, I love that.
So that's pretty easy. And then the cleavers, it's sticky. Yeah, you'd know it if you felt it.
And once you see it, you're going to see it everywhere. Because when you spotted it, when you did that walkthrough with my yard with me, it's like, now I see it everywhere. I'm like, used to just pull it as a weed. And now I pull it, but I dry it for the cough.
Well, and I've been doing this long enough now too, that I see what comes in for me this year. Mm-hmm. Like, nature provides what you need. Once you start tuning into that, you'll see like, oh, I haven't seen this in my yard before. What's this for? Oh, snap. It's for this thing. And so I keep an eye out on like, I know what this is good for. I wonder if I'm going to need that this year. And sure enough, you know, somebody ends up with like, you know, an upper respiratory infection or whatever. But you just, as you do it more and more, you notice how everything stays in balance. I mean, it's a tribute
to fascinating.
Concept, but it
and that we're all true. Connected, right? I mean, I think that's mm-hmm. one of the greatest lessons about what's going on right now. I had a friend post, he was out in his labyrinth and he was looking at, there was a fire and he was looking at the moon and Venus through a tree. And he's like, somebody tell me the meaning of all this. And I said, well, we were looking at almost that exact same view last night. And to me, the meaning is we're all connected. You know, mm-hmm. we may be currently socially, they call it socially isolating. I call it physical distancing because I'm more social than I've been in a while. It's
right. Like, we've been two episodes ago. We talked about that. It just didn't get published. But yeah, it seems like a misnomer to say social distancing. It's really more physical distancing and social reimagining.
Mm-hmm. And that being said, let's check on our elderly neighbors and friends who may not be as connected to the internet or connected to social media. I've been, this is a funny thing. I've kind of got this new reputation. I got a call from somebody in California that said, hey, you are on a list of people that could help me with Zoom and especially help me teach elders how to not be resistant to social media.
Girl, that is a marketable skill. You need to catch in on that.
I have to say, I gave a shout out to my friend Nancy. She is somebody that's close to 90, and she is in one of my regular classes that I do in community. And I had invited her to a class that I hosted last Sunday online, and she had reached out to me by, I think, Messenger and said, hey, Christine, I really want to do this, but I don't even know if I have a camera on my computer. And so I called her up and I said, well, let's see, and let me walk you through this. And I cannot tell you, Stephanie, the joy on her face when her camera came on. She had been by herself for a week because her son had been traveling and she had not seen anybody. She had been, you know, staying inside. And when that camera came on and she figured out like that she was in a group of people who loved her, it was magical. It was magical. So I'm advocating that for everybody. Let's, you know, it may take updated equipment. It may take loaning out some, you know, cheap laptops, but let's check on our elderly friends and make sure that they are not, completely alone. Cause I think that's important there in this time.
My dad is actually organizing a family-wide Zoom call tonight for the first time, so he's figured it out. So yeah, absolutely. We will check in on our elders.
I can't wait to see how that goes.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I think everybody in our house is going to have to be somewhere different to be on the call. But
right.
Well, okay, so.
So we're going to be looking at resources and how we use them. I'm going to research bidets and their environmental impact. And we will meet up and maybe
I'm going to need you to walk me through it. Like how, just start that off with how start to finish does that work?
Okay.
How do you not end up needing toilet paper? That is my biggest question.
Well, and it may be that you end up needing less. So we'll talk. We'll talk. So, all right, my friends, so glad to see your face on Zoom. So glad to hear your voice. I will get this podcast up and going, and let's talk soon.
Okay, yeah. All good right. To see you, too.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay, bye. Woman feels her power when her voice is
being heard. A woman feels her power when her voice. This has been the Incremental Steps podcast. Our theme music is A Woman Feels Her Power. Big thanks to Karen Drucker for letting us use it. Visit incrementalstepspodcast.com for all kinds of great information. We would love to hear from you.